welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Wednesday's Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's show. World Prophecy News, Wounded Lamb, Syrian Report, Russia Religious Freedom, Pastor Brunson, Follow Jesus, Pro-Life, Cross and Crescent, and more on Warn Radio. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 27th day of June, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 2 through chapter 25, verse 9. Micah chapter 5, starting at verse 6 through chapter 6, verse 8. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 71. Check out the featured posts this week by The Watchman. We have Lunatics, Nutcase, Politics, and America. Nutcase politics, anyone? Do not partake of these people. Be not like them, but be sure to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. Words taken from Paul the Apostle's Epistle to the Ephesians. Preparing for the deliberate deception of that wicked one. The lawlessness, mystery of iniquity, preparing the way for a deliberate deception and denial of that wicked one. Today in America, we find a deliberate deception along with those who have a denial of that very same deception. So you can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com. Is that right? Yeah, gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the featured posts by The Watchman and also listen to the radio shows. We have last week's Wednesday's Prophecy News up and ready to listen to, Thursday's John's Gospel, Witness to Jesus Christ Part 4, as well as Friday's show, Hebrew Revelation of His Son Part 5. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to those shows and read the featured articles. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and also on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our first segment and latest news articles and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, here we are. Post Mad Maxine's apocalyptic breakdown, and we're still here.
Yes, we are. Isn't that amazing?
Well, she was at some kind of a news conference, and a conservative reporter, I think he was right there. At any rate, he had answered it. I'm sure he was, because of the article, and I had read it. And he says, so where do conservatives go? To the back of the bus? Is there any place for us? You know, and that's pretty much, you know, the speak that a lot of these liberals have now. You know, not all of them. Jim Carrey, of course, he excelled in his nonsense that he does. And I can't even remember what it was, but it was absolutely ridiculous. Oh, yeah, it was Trump stepping on the immigrant children.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And squishing them. Yeah. You know, Jim Carrey's just, we've talked about him. He's not even worth talking about.
That's right.
You know, he always was in stupid movies. And now that he doesn't have a stupid movie, he's stupid in life. It's just ridiculous. It's too bad.
Too bad, yeah, it is.
And so at any rate, who knows, you know, with everything going on. And, you know, there's a lot of people in America that really don't mind the way this country's going.
I know. I think that's tragic.
You know, there's a lot of people that...
Well, they don't understand socialism and what they want. They're young and immature and do not have a clue of the past.
Well, I said that, you know... Well, let's put it this way. I was talking, and I think the number is 72%.
Wow.
That, you know, pretty much like the way this country's going, that...
I lost my ear. What did you say after 72%?
You lost your ear?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something here. Just a minute.
Okay.
Well, at any rate, I don't even know if I can... Well, have to look at that and see if that's what we're doing here. Because... I'll just do that. I'm trying to think what's it... What is it? Oh, look at this. This is on the front of Breitbart. Whoopee. Trump is not the change people wanted. America is lesser. I don't know what she means by that. But see, remember the change that we used to talk about with Obama?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they're talking about the... 72% of Americans believe establishment media deliberately report fake news.
Wow, that's a big number that... You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. So, you know, the bottom line of it is, you know, Trump's fake news thing has spread. It's really funny. We used to talk about the same thing with Obama. You know, that's not the change we wanted. And he did say he'd bring in change.
Yeah, but he would never tell anybody what he was going to do.
Yeah, well, Trump came out and told everybody what he was going to do, and that's why he became so popular. Even the Republicans didn't like him.
Yeah. And he did bring in those changes he said he would. He fulfilled his promises.
He did, a lot of them, you bet.
Yeah.
And, of course, now he has a chance to really solidify the Supreme Court with Kennedy's retire.
Yeah, he'll be done at the end of July, and the Supreme Court cut the funding for the labor unions. You know, they said they couldn't collect money from people who didn't want to pay into them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's good.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, and there's also... you know, the abortion place that is...
Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, there we're talking about... ACLJ is fighting that to reduce that funding.
Good. And, I hope they do.
And so there's a lot of things. And, of course, all the liberals, you know, just absolutely can't stand what's going on. And that's life.
Yeah.
You know. I don't care. you know, don't bother me at all. What Whoopi says doesn't bother me. What Jim Carrey does, and I could care less what Mad Maxine, the Supergirl, says.
You know what surprised me when I read something on her the other night? That she's been mad at every president, even Obama, which surprised me. I thought she liked him.
Yep.
I seen a title, I didn't read the article, but I seen a title about the immigration camps under Obama's presidency were horrible and weren't fit to live in.
Yeah.
And then they try and make Trump look so bad?
Well, they forget that conveniently.
Yes.
But that's the way it is, you know? I mean, but we're not going to talk about any real political things.
Yeah.
We do have a couple of Supreme Court cases and things, but I doubt we're going to get to those. We might. Because there are things we've got to talk about. And up first, we're going to talk about another miraculous thing that happened. And Tower is going to start her off. Are you ready?
Yes. This story comes to us from Bibles for the Mideast. Every week we've been getting news stories and from Bibles for the Mideast, and they're miraculous. God is still at work today, miraculously saving people and delivering them from the Muslim ideology and it's the demonic state of that. But this is from the Mideast and the ALG Church. After a brutal attack by Islamic extremists last week, Pastor Peter Hanif, president of the ALG Church, by God's grace and the prayers of his people, is recovering. He had been ministering in Bangladesh when, in the middle of the night, radicals burst into the place where he and his young family were staying. The underground church members rushed him first to a near... Wait a minute. Well, and he was brutally attacked. And the underground church members rushed him first to a nearby hospital where he was refused admission, then transported him hours away to another hospital with several broken bones and severe blood loss. He had by then lost consciousness. In need of major surgery, believers donated blood and stayed on hand to pray him through the operation. They rented a room in a neighboring lodge and began a prayer vigil. Pastor Paul of Bibles for Mideast arrived at the hospital to visit with Pastor Peter and his family, later joining with the others for the all-night prayer at the lodge. In the meantime, Kahani, and his name has been changed, who had led the attack on Pastor Peter and his family, began having serious troubles at home. His 16-year-old son dreamt one night that a joyful little lamb entered their house, but his father grabbed a knife and tried to kill it. Injured, the lamb managed to escape. Within a few minutes, the boy saw a mob of giants, resembling an army from some other planet, hurrying towards their house. Furious and with round reddish eyes, they breathed fire from their mouths and nostrils. They clearly intended to destroy the whole village, particularly his house and everyone in it, with some kind of strange, extraordinary weapon. And the boy marveled. The wounded lamb appeared instantly and stood between the monstrous army and his house. Alone, it successfully fought off the angry giants. Then it gazed mournfully at the boy's household before disappearing. He couldn't stop noticing blood oozing from its wounds. And when the dream ended, Kawani's son got up. Still reeling from what he saw, he began begging his father to get the little lamb, back. Why did you persecute and try to kill it? He asked angrily. It was coming to save it. Bring it back, please. His father and mother and others in the home had no idea what he was talking about. They finally realized he must have had a disturbing dream and tried to calm him. But the boy's pleas only intensified. Now shaking uncontrollably, he began screaming for the lamb. His fever rose dangerously throughout the day. By evening, his concerned parents took him to the hospital. Pneumonia began settling in, but doctors could not find no reason nor offer any relief. Within 2 days, his legs were paralyzed. Their imam visited the boy and prayed over him, but nothing changed. A few neighboring women came to visit the sick boy in the hospital. They were secret believers, attending an underground ALG church in the area and taking part in prayer and fasting services when they could. They explained to the boy's mother that his ailments must be due to what his father and the other attackers had done to the innocent pastor. "Go and see the pastor," they advised her. "Confess before him so your son can be cured." The boy's mother implored her husband to go find the pastor as soon as possible for their son's sake. Kwani, however, had no idea whether the man had survived, and if he did, where he might be. But his wife wouldn't give up her desperate pleas. If he went to where the church leader had been staying and he was no longer there, others nearby would know something. She felt certain about that, but Kwani remained uneasy, especially about the prospect of facing the pastor and his people. The secretly Christian women insisted he had nothing to be concerned about. "They are such loving people," they assured him. "They teach God's love only and never stay angry. If you see them, they will pray for your son and he will be healed." Within seconds, Kwani left the hospital to go where the pastor had been staying. Several church members were meeting for prayer there when Pastor John, a Bibles for Mideast minister who had stepped up to lead while Pastor Peter recovered. Fear gripped the believers when they saw Kwani until he began to speak. He politely and humbly asked about Pastor Peter, then burst into tears like a child. At Pastor John's request, he explained everything. The pastor told him about the major surgery ongoing, necessary due to the attack. Absolutely miserable by now, Kwani asked forgiveness of all of them. Pastor John and the others invited him to sit with them for prayer, and as they began to pray for his son, they felt the Holy Spirit moving mightily. Pastor John heard the Lord tell him to go with Kwani to see the boy in the hospital. He then explained why and how the Lord Jesus was crucified, died, and rose from the dead. He shared his testimony of converting to Christianity from Islam and how Pastor Peter converted. "If you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, he will surely save you and your family from sin and death," he assured Kwani. "Certainly your son will be cured by the healing power of Jesus Christ." Kwani went along with what they said and did as they suggested, but apparently not fully convinced. Led by the Holy Spirit, the pastor and three of the other believers accompanied him to visit the boy in the hospital. They found him laying sedated and motionless. Pastor John took out his Bible and read Isaiah 53. They all then sang several verses of a song before joining in hands to pray over the boy. As they did, his legs began shaking intensely, and he opened his eyes. He tried to sit up, so the men reached out to help him. And he said, "The little lamb came to me again and washed me with the blood coming out of its wounds," he explained. "After that, it transformed into a man with blood stains on his hands, chest, and legs. Then he told me he is Jesus Christ and was crucified on the cross of Calvary, died and rose from the dead for my salvation. He asked me to believe in him as my Lord and Savior." Then he disappeared. The boy rose from the bed and took a few steps, his legs now fully functional. "I believe, Lord Jesus Christ," he cried. Kwani stood dumbfounded, weeping now. He reached out to embrace Pastor John. "Forgive me for my unbelief," he exclaimed. "Now I fully believe in Jesus Christ and I accept him as my Savior and Lord." The third day after his son's dramatic healing, Kwani and his family attended Sunday worship at Pastor Peter's church. He shared his testimony, and immediately afterwards, his wife and their other children joined him in accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Once the meeting ended, he and his family made the long drive to visit Pastor Peter in hospital. Kwani reached out to gently touch the injured pastor's leg and begged for forgiveness. "My dear brother," Pastor Peter replied. He then invited the former terrorist to sit by his side and prayed for him. Kwani said that he will share his experience with his friends and hopes to convince them of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the salvation of all. This will be a dangerous undertaking, so please pray for his protection and success, and also pray for Pastor Peter's complete recovery, and that he will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to lead the church even more powerfully than ever. And keep all the believers and other workers in your prayers as well. And we thank you for that. Isn't that just amazing?
It is.
God is still working miraculous things in this day, and people think he's a far-off God and letting us do what we want and on our own.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that you can be prideful and stubborn and rebellious, which is what we find in America, a lot of people that way. Self-satisfied, you know, but you get overseas in some of these areas and there's some real big needs, real big threats.
When there's persecution going on, you will see more people coming to Christ. Right now we have it easy and everything's wonderful and fine, and so they think.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that we've seen more and more of these things as we continue to report it. And there is absolutely no doubt, you know, the amazing move that's going on.
Oh, amen. Thank God.
And, of course, from the Middle East to Syria, which is still in the Middle East, but it's a different part. They were over in Bangladesh and India. And of course, now, when we get into this, there is a report out. And there's been a number of reports since the 2014-2015 ISIS advance. And it focuses on the crimes and acts of brutality against Christian clerics from all the denominations, Christian denominations in Syria. And, you know, we have seen other reports like this. Jamil Elias, and he has a long last name. He's executive director of the Assyrian Monitor for Human Rights. Now, when a lot of this was going on, you know, there were a number of the online newspapers and other reporting agencies that were native, and they had tried to put in a couple of reporters. There was quite a few reporters killed. And most of the information was able to get funneled out through people sending texts and videos from their smartphones. So it was really difficult. But there, you know, there was a major UN declarations, you know, when they declared the genocide of the Yazidis, and then later came in and talked about the genocide of the Christian population. So there's been a lot of these things going on. At the beginning of the 20th century, according to this report, Syrian Christians were about 30% of the population there in Syria. And of course, the numbers have dropped for most of the century. And of course, you know, you have a people that immigrates out of there because of the political turmoil, economic problems, or the social and religious reasons. In other words, more Muslims coming in and others. And so the current population of Christians in Syria now is only a 500,000. And in 2010, the stats for Christians there put the number at 8 to 10%. So they've dropped by 20%.
Wow.
And of course, it didn't help any because of ISIS. Now, of course, if you get over in Iraq, the numbers in Iraq are even more astounding. So it really does, ISIS, one of their goals was to completely run Christians out of the region and Christianity. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And of course, he said there are three main groups of Christians. That is, the first is a supporter of the regime. And they constitute the majority in the Christian streets. And the second group stands with the Syrian opposition through a majority, though a minority. And the overwhelming majority of Syrian Christians constitute a third group called the silent group. He says that Christians have offered thousands of victims, while hundreds of them have been detained, abducted, and forcibly made to disappear. And we've reported on that. It's been pretty bad out there. And, they've been trying to bring, this to the attention of the international community. And, of course, like I said, there's been a number of reports out there by major groups, and World Rights Watch, and a number of the other, persecution.com has some stuff they do. The UN, of course, Human Rights Council, and a lot of them. But see, the Assyrians, the thing of it is the church there goes back to the time of Paul and the apostles.
Yeah, that'd be a shame. Wipe them out.
And in fact, some of the areas, there's no churches left. And in Iraq, it's the same way. And of course, so you really do have a problem. And this is exactly what we were reporting on. And so it's quieter today, but there's still pockets of those Muslims that try to do evil out there. But, right now they're trying to get everything put together. But, in Iraq now, they're friends with Iran. And, of course, you get over into Assad, and, he has... a number of groups. He has Russia, America was in there, Iran had some people in there, Saudi Arabia was talking about some people there, and so, it's just been a mess. And of course, it's also been in Syria that you've had Hezbollah, and of course in Lebanon, basically. But, both those things on the border with Israel causes a lot of problems. And that's, why Israel was getting involved in parts of Syria in order to keep those who were threatening their borders, keep them at bay. So, I mean, the whole thing is a frickin' mess.
Oh, it is.
It just is. And then you got Erdogan smack dab in the middle of the whole thing, who is trying to call together, all the Arab nations for an old-fashioned Islamic army. And the thing of it is the majority of these people in Islam are clear back in the 13th and 12th centuries.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they want to institute things that Muhammad did, and they want to take a modern world and subdue it. And like ISIS, they were absolutely blatantly bloody and sick. And, you know, there's no way anybody would ever capitulate to anything like that. Now, see, if you go clear on back to Genghis Khan and the Cossacks and a lot of others, you know, one of the main things they did was to impale people in order to totally... that's what Vlad the Impaler did in order to threaten his enemies, scare him. Yeah. Into submission. That was a tactic used a long time ago. And they would flay him alive, you know. Oh, it was just absolutely sickening. And so this is what we saw, literally saw, in Iraq with ISIS. And, you know, I was, you know, astounded when I saw a lot of that. But see, the thing of it is when you talk to... the Russians, you talk to China, you talk to America, you talk to the UK, and you know, Saudi Arabia is the same way. Now, you know, and Iran has them too. You know, we've got planes, we've got boats, we've got bombs, we've got big weaponry, we've got, you know, all kinds of chemical and other kind of means. So the weapons today are not anything like the Crusades. The weapons today that can actually destroy the entire Earth, you know, it's just that detrimental. So if we ever were to go to another cross, you know, in the crescent like Erdogan, that phrase is actually comes out of Erdogan being covered. It was in a news story, the cross and the crescent. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that there's no winners in anything like that.
Absolutely not.
And so, you know, it's just a matter of time before these people get their war. It is. Because you've got the EU that's already let in a whole bunch of them. And, of course, there was a major article, and I think we've got it here today, but... and I think that is, that actually was written, well, CBN had one, the coming war between the cross and the crescent, the Ottoman Turks, and of course this is exactly what Erdogan is trying to resurrect. And of course it was under the Ottomans that they did have quite an expansion of the Muslim. And, of course, it just wasn't in war either. They had quite a expansion of art and science in the Muslim kingdom. This is history. So there's a lot of advancements that actually happened. And so it just wasn't the fact of all that butchery. But the Ottomans were eventually defeated, you know, by... Europe, actually by England.
Yeah, that's good.
When Allenby went into Jerusalem in the Middle East. And of course, the big thing that CBN brought out was that the fifth column in Europe, and I've talked about this, not using that particular phrase, which refers to the mosques and the imams, of which have been supplied by Turkey. And they are in a lot of European nations. And of course, the Austrian government, we talked about that. They shut down 7 mosques and expelled 60 imams.
Yeah, because that was good.
They were being funded illegally by the Turkish government. And photos from the inside the mosque surfaced on the internet showing Turkish children being trained to be martyrs. And so this is what they do, you know, train the kids to die. And, of course, this is the problem we have. It's not going to go away. And it's too bad. It'd be nice.
Yeah, it sure would be.
But, you know, whenever you want to talk about... what's that movie that we like that takes place during the Crusades?
The Kingdom of God?
Yeah, the Kingdom of God. And that really is, you know, I don't know how accurate historically, but it is historically set during the Crusades. But that's exactly what you know, Islam's trying to do, is set the kingdom of God on earth here, where our kingdom of God is coming, and the Lord will establish it, and he will defeat the enemy. And of course, there's a lot of this. This is, you know, this is a sticky wicket, you know.
Oh, I mean, it is. It's a mess.
It's not a sticky wicket from my point, because, you know, I know the truth. And, you know, the thing of it is that a lot of these people in Islam think that America's an easy target. Japan thought that and found out we weren't. There are people here that are able to fight and able to defend themselves. But when you have a nation like America that is fundamentally wicked and full of people like it's going today, it's kind of hard to believe in the deliverance by Almighty God when you don't adhere to anything he says, you know?
That's right.
So at any rate, we trust God no matter what. That's just the way it is.
Amen.
But, you know, another thing that made the news was Russia cracking down. And this time they were cracking down on the Jehovah Witnesses, which can be some of the, actually the worst door-to-door salesman you can find, even in America. And he's been jailing a bunch of them. And, of course, under Putin's new law that he signed, I think it was a couple of years ago, even Christians can't go out and do anything either. Nobody can in the religion part. And there's the Russian Orthodox Church. That's the official church, the official religion. And if you're doing anything other than that, then you're an enemy of the state. That's just the way it is. So, at any rate, you know, he has been taking on the Jehovah Witnesses, and Jehovah Witnesses, while Jehovah is the true name of God, you can't have the Father without the Son, and you can't have the Son without the Father, and that's just all there is to it. There's that joint thing between the Father and the Son.
Right.
John tells us that those who refuse the Father and the Son, this is Antichrist, and this is exactly the Antichrist spirit in the last days. And you know, but it doesn't mean that they're not nice people, but they are, you know, decidedly wrong, just as we have a few others that have gone in their own way. And the big problem is that they leave off of the apostolic teaching that Christ had handed to the apostles, and these people go out on their own. And as Paul said, when I leave, grievous wolves will enter in the flock, not sparing any. And now today we see that the grievous wolves have altered much of the faith, and leading many groups here and there away from the truth of the gospel. And so this is where we run into trouble. And needless to say, whether you're Jehovah Witness or not, the people do not deserve to be just castigated and thrown in jail.
That's right.
Because bottom line of it is, you know, I'm not, Jehovah's Witnesses are not my enemy. Neither is Catholicism or Mormonism or anything, you know. You know, I don't worry about that. I just tell people you must be born again, and you must receive the Lord. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1. John chapter 3 says you must be born again of the Spirit, which is the other part of that. And then, of course, Romans 3-7 talks about repenting of your sins, confessing your sins. You have to do that. And 1 John 1:7-9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. In addition, it says that we must walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And you can't have the Son without the Father. So Amen. Anything that deviates from that is not true. period. And I don't argue denominations. I don't argue faiths. I don't argue with you. I just tell you the Bible. You believe whatever you want to believe. If you don't want to believe the Bible, then don't. If you want to believe, you know, the Book of Mormon and burn the Bible, that's your choice. Because I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And he told me in Revelation 22 that he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And he's got a few other comparisons like that. For I come quickly, my reward is with me to give to all men according as his works shall be. So whether you're wicked or whether you're righteous, you can continue doing that, and the Lord will sort them out when he gets here. However, if you do not know Jesus Christ, Yahshua, as your true Lord and Savior, and coming unto the Father, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Period. I don't care what church you belong to. And I know that that's not very friendly. I'm not here to be friendly. I'm here to be scriptural. And so that's the scripture. You want to believe it? Believe it. If you don't want to believe it, don't believe it. And that's just all there is to it. And this is what the battle of the end days is going to be about. It's going to be about what you believe in. Everybody's going to have to make a choice because the dark one is coming. And you're going to have to make your choice.
Better make up your mind now.
Yep. So at any rate, you know, a couple of days ago or maybe a week ago, there was some other news coming out about Pastor Brunson.
Uh-huh.
And he had said from his prison cell that he did not want to be forgotten.
Yeah,
that was one of his greatest fears. And, you know, government leaders and President Trump, we reported on him mentioning it. There's international groups, there's the ACLJ. There's a lot of them that are trying to put pressure on Turkey to free the North Carolina pastor. But this is a political issue here. And it was that way from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just him. Pastor Brunson is not the only one in jail over there. There's a lot. There was, at last count, I think there was around, the estimate was about 1,000 Christians and others that had been imprisoned by Erdogan as a result of this coup d'etat that they tried to do. And of course, they just rounded up the Christians. They're blaming Pastor Brunson, and he said, I would never have done that. But see, in the indictment, they got after him because he was preaching the gospel. Well, you know, I was going through, I've been having to do a lot of web work on our website to clean out the database and the posts, and I found some of our posts from, well, I went all the way through them from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which is lots of posts, folks. But at any rate, one of them was from Iran, and this has been years and years ago, and he was called a threat to humanity, I think it was, because he preached the gospel.
And who was that, do you know?
I can't remember the guy's name. It was a post that we had on our site.
Hmm.
And he was convicted and thrown in jail in Iran. So, you know, and this was years ago. So the idea has not changed. You know,
oh, no.
And if you're in various parts of the world where a Muslim or a Hindu majority are at, if you're a Christian, if you try to preach the gospel, carry Bibles or anything, you're going to get killed, beat up or something. Because they consider you a threat to humanity, to what they're doing.
That's so tragic.
Yeah, because the devil is so afraid of the gospel being preached. See, yeah. and this is the truth, and I've said this before, Tower, and you will remember that a lot of these pastors that are doing it, they're willing to go preach and talk to people, but a lot of the stuff happens with the Lord already moving before they get there. This story tonight, the Lord was moving on the other end of it.
That's right.
And when we did another story, and it was about the dust storm, and he appeared in the dust storm.
Yeah.
And he was doing that behind the scenes. And a lot of times the power of God is moving in the background in the lives of these people. And the Muslims that are not converted are afraid to death. Imams are scared to death of Christianity. And that's why they teach their kids to kill the unbeliever. And see, I'm not an unbeliever. I know who they believe in. He's just the wrong God.
Yeah.
And I know their prophet, and he's the wrong prophet. I know the true and the living God and our Father.
Amen.
The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, Yahweh, who has his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And he came and died on the cross for our sins. Now that's the truth, the God's
truth. Thank you, Lord.
And so this is where this is at. Now you're not going to pray away being imprisoned. This is the faith and the patience of the saints. People, you know, he that goes into, and this is Revelation, he that leadeth into captivity will go into captivity. In other words, in the midst of these end of days, there's going to be some of you that are going to be led away into captivity, and that's where you're going to go, and you're going to stay there until the Lord comes or you die. That's the way it's going to work. And you have to, you overcome, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you love your lives, not unto the death. It's all in the Bible, but the problem of it is, modern Christianity has sugarcoated it so much, you wouldn't find many pastors preaching a lot of these things that I'm telling you. They stay away from it. And most of the church is weak-kneed, sick, and, you know, they've had so much sugar pablum that the real truth, as Paul said, I would give you meat, but, you're still on milk. And, the bottom line of it is you can't live on milk forever. You can't, you got to be weaned from the teat sometimes. You can't just be sucking on that teat all the way till you're a grown-up. You got to be weaned. You got to get away from that. Mama's milk is good for a while, and after that, you got to get your butt away from it. You got to get into the meat of the word, and you got to say, okay, what's truth? What is a disciple? What should I be doing here? But I'll tell you the teat that we're sucking on in America, and it's called prosperity. Hedonism. Hedonism, along with heathenism. So at any rate, pray for Pastor Brunson. Now, you know, Tower, did you send that, this one about Iran? Death to the dictator?
Yes, I did.
You know, and that ties in with what we were talking about, Pastor Brunson, because I had gotten the one and Tower had gotten the other one. And the thing of it is, I mean, look at how this is going, you know. And of course, Rouhani, and of course the imams there say America cannot defeat Iran.
And it's America's fault that they're facing economic hardship. They're facing grave economic hardship. And the price of milk, eggs, meat, and bread have skyrocketed.
Well, you know what Israel asked? And I don't have the post here. But, you know, they said, well, what do you spend your money on anyway? Where'd all your money go? Well, I can tell you where some of it went. It went into terrorism.
Yeah.
Funneling into Hezbollah, funneling into the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, giving money to those who would be martyrs and stuff against... actually, the pay at one time, I think it was $100 for them to do that. $100, I can't remember what it was, $100 a month.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, there was a wage they were paying out to all those would-be warriors. And not only that, you know, Iran is continuing to put money in building, their weaponry. And so, you ask where the money's going, that's where the money went. And you can thank Obama that they got all that money. Now it's gone.
Oh, yeah. And Rouhani, he's told the people are angry because they're going hungry and they're facing dire situations. And he told the Iranians the government can withstand a new round of U.S. sanctions following President Trump's decision to withdraw from the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. And he said, even in the worst case, I promise that the basic needs of Iranians will be provided. Rawani claimed that, and he said, "We have enough sugar, wheat, and cooking oil. We have enough foreign currency to inject into the market." Yet hours after making that promise, thousands went back on the streets of Tehran for a second day as frustration grows over the country's worsening economic woes, and he's not doing anything to help them.
Well, at any rate, we'll see how it goes over there. And so
it's a mess.
It is a mess.
And everywhere in the Argentina is facing, they're in dire straits as well. And all over the world, you see countries in trouble economically or because of the overload of Muslims coming in and taking over or whatever. You can, and it's the unrest, there's no peace. You can see it being set up. We are truly in the last days, and this is being set up for the Antichrist to come in with his gospel of peace.
Well, another thing that got reported was the fact that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of pro-life pregnancy centers. And this is something that the pro-life pregnancy center is for women where they can go. And they are pro-life. They're not going to commit an abortion, but they find a way to keep the baby alive and find a place for the baby. And the Supreme Court ruled that pro-life pregnancy centers do not have to violate their beliefs by advertising for abortions. Now, see,
that's good.
I believe all this started when President Obama and his push, there's that whole push for abortion. And, this is the big thing that you have, with this Supreme Court, Kennedy stepping down. You actually have a chance right now to put in someone that would be pro-life. But see, the Democrats are warning, don't put in anybody pro-life who would overturn Roe v. Wade. And of course, for the Democrats, that's what it is. And so there is a major problem in this country. I am pro-life. I've talked about the blood guilt. And the bottom line of it is that there's a lot of things that are stacking up right now during Trump's rule. Matter of fact, his presidency could be absolutely one of the premier presidencies to change the course of America's history. He could. Doesn't mean he will, because he can, if he could get this to where he could put up the border, if he could get this where he gets reelected, if he could get this where he, where him and the Republicans can actually get, someone in the court that would work for him. But see, who knows? Right now, the people that we've talked about, and we've given you a few examples of them who go blitzkrieg. Just crazy.
Yeah. So
you got all this going on, and it just, when you look at it, there's a lot going on, Tower.
Oh, there is. It's horrible. Bizarre.
On the one hand, you see things changing in America far away from where Obama was. Matter of fact, moving back. And you also see the changing of the Supreme Court. You see the Supreme Court coming out ruling in favor of Trump now. On the travel ban. Now, see, we knew it was okay. But your federal judges, who many of whom had been set up by Obama, thought that they could take on the power of the presidency, which they can't. So the Supreme Court ruled that the travel bans, the president has a right to do that.
Good.
So,
about time.
Sotomayor was irritated about the decision. I think that was the one.
Probably.
But, the bottom line of it is that there is no easy things that we're facing right now. And Erdogan's calling for a war between the cross and the crescent. You have Iran right in the middle of it. You have Russia, you know. Matter of fact, did you know that they're setting up a meeting? They're working on the prelims for Trump to meet with Putin.
I'd seen that. I seen the headlines. I didn't read the article.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's colluding, right? He just wants to meet with him, you know. Leave it to the Democrats, you know. And so this is, you know, this whole thing in America, we are so divided that if they keep on, the guns will be next, and then it will be a mess.
Oh, it will.
Of course, there are certain areas that won't be involved in that. And, you know, California, you know, all of California is not liberal. You know, it's divided into three major sections, but, you know, the bottom line of it is that there are conservatives in California.
Yeah.
That don't like the way the liberals have taken over California.
Well, what's the three sections for? You'd think one's for the right or one's for the left. What's the third one?
Well, no, there's three different portions of that. You have pretty much the northern portion, Auburn, California, the northern sections, which has conservatives. Matter of fact, that's where our family's from.
Yeah.
My grandfather had a cattle ranch in Auburn Grass Valley. And then, of course, the other one, the midsection, and I guess the other one's down south. I don't know. I haven't paid that much attention, but when it comes to California, our family left years ago, and my dad told me, you know, before he died, he says, California, they were crazy back when I left. They're even nuttier today. So, you know, and that's the prophecy. It's been fulfilled. They are nutty. I can... But they're not all like that. They're not all like Maxine. And they're not all like that Jim Carrey, who is nuts. And, you know, they're just not all like that. But see, the news, the liberal... Do you know CNN, they had a report out today talking about how Breitbart, and this was on Breitbart, talking about how they had... Fox News had taken... the lead and all of that, you know, for again, as one of the top attractors, you know, people who listen to them.
Uh-huh.
And they said CNN is so bad that it is just a fraction of what Fox News does.
Wow.
And they have, what is it? Some other network channel that they have, and that thing is even worse.
Hmm.
So one has like 200,000. CNN only has 900,000 listeners. But you get to Fox News and a lot of these others, they just blow them out of the ballpark.
Good.
And so MSN even lost stride. So, you know, when we hear about this fake news and 72% of them think that the news is fake. I mean, you can just look at it and look at the numbers and you can see that the liberals, for as much as they pontificate and blaspheme and yell and scream and holler, you know, CNN, they don't have much reach. The only reach is they get on the internet and the internet gives them some spread. That's it.
Hmm. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. So with that, we're going to have to... get out
is
of here.
Is it already over?
It is.
Mm. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. Whenever you do, we appreciate it. Thank you for your support. And we love you. We pray for you. God bless you. And join us tomorrow night.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio. The Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.